Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We live in the age of the influencer. If you spend any time at all on social media, you have been inundated with influencers posting about products and encouraging people to buy them, sometimes overtly, sometimes subtly. But some users, social media users on TikTok in particular, are getting tired of this consumer culture and this relentless move to try and get us to buy stuff. They are doing the exact opposite. It's called de-influencing. Alicia Adamczyk is a senior writer at Fortune. She wrote a piece on this idea. She joins us now from New York. Hello there.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
What exactly is a de-influencer? It sounds like a buzzkill. It sounds like the raining on the parade at the party.
Well, you know, I wouldn't put it that way. To be honest, I think they're tapping into like a very real fatigue people are having. You know, if anything, influencers might be becoming buzzkills at this point. I think so. People are just getting very tired of being sold to in every single video or post they look at. And what a de-influencer is doing is basically saying, you know, hey, you actually don't need X product that is very popular at the moment on this app, or hey, maybe we should have a conversation about sustainability and being a little more, you know, conscious about what it is we're buying and paying attention to.
And it was TikTok where this first began, is that right?
So it first began on TikTok for sure. But I think on a lot of social media sites, this topic really resonates. Like, I remember a few years ago on YouTube, another, you know, video platform, it was called like anti-hauls, like so anti having like huge drops of products that you were kind of talking about. So it's definitely something.
H-A-U-L-S.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Like, so got it.
Definitely resonates. Yeah.
And can you describe what one of these, but you know, we're on the radio, so we can't watch the TikTok video, but what would one of those posts look or sound like? Would they be a direct call out to people to say, stop doing this? Or would they be funny? Would there be soundtracks? What would we see?
Yeah, well, it could be any of the above. The ones I've really seen is, you know, really in like the beauty and skincare space. And, you know, a creator will just straight to camera kind of be like, I'm going to tell you five products you don't need to buy because they're bad. And here are those products. And that's what I've seen a lot of. But I've also seen like similar ones where it's a much more general conversation about like consumer habits, you know, broadly. So
my Pollyanna deluded optimist would love to say this will have a significant impact on the buying patterns of the generation that is so loyal, let's say, not addicted, let's say loyal to social media. Are you more cynical than me?
I don't want to be more cynical. I also want to believe that this might give people kind of, you know, a check a little bit of, oh, hey, wait, maybe I don't need these things. I just think it's become so normalized, especially on TikTok. Like you open a comment section and every other comment is, where did you get this? Where did you get, you know, that? And the video doesn't even necessarily have to be about a product. So I think any sort of pushback against that, just like instinct people have now to just buy, like I think is great, honestly.
My background was in marketing. And so there was a very traditional way to reach consumers back in the day. You bought a TV ad. And in these times, the influencers really are the conduit to the consumer. Has their growth surprised you? I mean, I look at it because I'm older. I look at it and think, really, how many people are making a living, showing off a cute pair of boots?
I wonder that too. It does surprise me that there are seemingly so many people who make livings this way or are able to leave their jobs. Then again, you know, a lot of these people that at least I see are very young. And so maybe, you know, it's not like a long-term sustainable move, but it's a move for a couple years as they figure out what's next. But I agree with you that it does seem like overwhelming the amount of people who can kind of, you know, make a living this way.
Can you shed some light on how this works? Because as I read your article, there's some things I didn't know, like this link trees process where creators can provide these links in a super easy way, making it practically one click.
Yeah. So what these are is, you know, so again, I'm only like kind of speaking from what I see, like my algorithm, but a woman, let's say, might be going about her day and someone will ask, hey, I loved your bedding. Where did you get that? And she says, it's in my link tree. So if you go to her bio, her TikTok page, you click on like the link tree and every single thing in the video is linked into where you can buy it. The bedding, cups, mugs, kitchen accessories, like pretty much anything you want is linked there, you know? So it makes everything just extremely easy for people to find and buy, you know, if that's what they want.
And in fairness to the influencer trend, magazines have done that for decades where you'd flip through Architectural Digest or Cosmopolitan or whatever, and they would have the products listed at the back. So I think we should probably acknowledge that is a connection isn't completely new. But there was another term that I hadn't heard, or a phrase, there's a dupe for that. What does that mean?
Well, so it's interesting you bring up the magazine thing, right? Because I think a lot of people will say, well, we're just making it more accessible to people, right? We are doing cheaper things that are more affordable than what you'll find in a more high-end magazine. And that really comes through in the sort of dupe culture, which apparently is, you know, like duplicate, right? So if you see something from West Elm, a couch, but you can't afford that, a dupe might be a much cheaper couch from Amazon that kind of looks the same and gives you the same sort of aesthetic. And that's really proliferated on the app.
Fascinating. Do you take any steps in your own social media consumption to reduce the influence, pun intended, that those influencers have on how you spend your money?
I do. I think it's very easy to fall into, and I was kind of getting frustrated with it. Now, you know, when videos crop up where every, you know, if a person in the video is kind of naming every single product, I, you know, you can say not interested. So I try to do that for those videos, or I just try not to interact with them anymore. So hopefully TikTok is like, oh, I guess she doesn't want these. I think also just in my life though, it's a lot broader than that, right? Like I make a list of things I'm tempted to buy. I wait on it. I go back. I usually don't want those things anymore, right? It's always very like in the moment.
Delayed gratification. How's that? How's that for a vintage find? Delayed gratification. Alicia, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Alicia Damchek is a senior writer at Fortune, and she joined us to talk about de-influencing. So we know these influencers are everywhere on social media. Some of them are coming out and saying, hey, how about we don't spend all of that money on all of those things?